T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Ian McNulty joins us now, who is, if I were going to make Ian McNulty a member of the Rat Pack, I'd say maybe Peter Lawford.
Compliment accepted.
Ian McNulty, who covers New Orleans dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate, our friend. I would say you would be the Peter Lawford of the Rat Pack. Does that sit well with you?
I want to see the pecking order of this Rat Pack. Does this make you Sinatra, or where does this put you?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I'm not even in the same company. Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm Joey right. Bishop. I'm standing on the side wondering what the hell am I doing here? Or maybe even Shirley MacLaine. I'm just kind of like a mascot. I got nothing to do with the real guys like you. Come on.
Tommy, I think I got here just in time.
I think you did too.
If the conversation was in the kitchen and we were talking about dogs and cats and spatulas, we got to refocus to the main point of the kitchen, right? Which is
although who better to be an expert witness than you? tell me about, first of all, I guess, what's going on with now the city's going to talk about keeping bars open till 1 a.m.? Is that where we are with this?
There's talk of that. Not sure where the timeline is on that just yet, but I know that that's something that restaurants and mostly bars have been pushing for pretty dang hard. And you know, it's not hard to see why. Culturally speaking, you know, a city that you know was known for 24-hour bars. To suddenly have the lights come on at 11 o'clock and say, you don't have to go home, but you got to leave here. It's jarring. But, you know, more to the point, economically, most bars tell me that they do the lion's share of their business between, let's say, 10 o'clock and 2 in the morning. And, you know, as you see a lot of other stuff opening up, namely, you know, in my world, the restaurant business, the hospitality business, even the hotels to some extent, you know, the people who work in those places, they get off their shift at 10:30, 11, whatever it is. You know, they've been working, fueling the reviving cultural economy, and you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night is their 5 p.m. if you're a 9-to-5er, you know, and that's their business is a major part of the local neighborhood bar economy. You know, there's the best customers for our neighborhood bars are the ones who go out and have a few and tip generously. And, you know, my contention is if you put a $20 bill in circulation, if you can track it, you know, around, it would be this dotted line, like the family circle of this $20 bill, you know, barely resting in anyone's wallet long enough, just being passed from waiter to bartender, from bartender to the person serving the eggs in the morning, back to the waiter at the dinner spot, and back to the bar. It would just be this virtuous circle of drinks and food. And so, you know, the early time really messes up.
That always struck me as odd in a way. Not odd, but maybe ironic. I don't know, because the last thing in the world I would want to do is go to a radio station on my off time. Right? Or you maybe,
well, yeah.
But it's different when you're talking hospitality, how people that are in the hospitality industry love to patronize other places in the same industry, correct? Like, that's what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, the actors like to watch other movies, you know? I mean, it's part of the culture. And B, this satisfies, you know, your universal needs. I'm talking about the hunger, the thirst, but also, mm-hmm. you know, the togetherness, the camaraderie. And I think, you know, for bartenders that I know, let's just use a bartender as an example, or use a waiter as an example. Waiter's been working all day. Who understands them better than the bartender who's behind the bar? You know, there's a lot of brotherhood and sisterhood and camaraderie in this industry, which, you know, with everything they've been through in the past year plus, you know, may even feel stronger now.
I would imagine it's a small world, too, where you know people that maybe you work together at this place or that place, or you know them from here or there.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's you know, it's like any community. It seems all spread out and all independent, but you know, what really are the degrees of separation? You know, you don't need Kevin Bacon in the equation to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But you know, people used to work with each other. One person used to be the manager over here. They went over there. You know, they can. You get a bunch of hospitality pros together. They start talking like it's a class reunion, you know, back in their freshman year or whatever, the pranks that they did, that sort of stuff.
I'm looking at some pictures that you posted from your most recent story here, and we'll get to these in a little bit. But and y'all go to NOLA.com and find this cornmeal crusted drum with smoky butter beans at Dunbar's Creole Cuisine. That looks, I would think, as good as it can get until I see the picture of scallops with what kind of noodles? Fideo?
Fideo, yes. Spanish noodles.
I don't know what that is at Costera in New Orleans. I guess that's a Spanish restaurant?
It is, yes. That is a little piece of a plaza in Madrid plopped down on Portania Street. That's a lot of P's in that sentence there, but you get the point. It's a really wonderful contemporary Spanish restaurant.
And what's the name of it?
Costera. Costera. It's on Portania Street and Robert Uptown. A lot of people will know that spot as the former Latai location uptown.
All right, so for those of us that don't know Spanish food, what is the difference for those that conflate Spanish food with Mexican food? I would imagine a big difference.
It's sort of like soccer to football, you know? I mean, it's very, very different evolution over time. Probably the most common thread being the word Spanish. Now, you know, Spain, of course, has its own extremely distinct cuisine, and all across Latin America, a vividly diverse range of flavors from country to country, region to region. So, yes, no, there is still a generation of people out there. Tommy, I'm kind of surprised if you're one of them who did hear Spanish food.
I said for people.
Burritos and tacos.
I said for people who, not me, and I said for people whom.
Okay.
So tell me what I would expect. Tell me some of the things at this restaurant that I would eat if I were to be sitting at a table in Madrid. What would, for people that are looking for a new place to try something different this weekend?
Yeah, well, Costera is a great example. It's one of the restaurants that I called out in a column this week, really about the sort of the joy and the glory of dining out right now, right this very minute in New Orleans, which we can get into. But Costera itself, great example. It's a young restaurant. I want to say it opened 2 years ago, you know, had a good running start before the pandemic, opened up by two pros who came out of Donald Link's group, you know, which has always produced a lot of great talent. And Reno and Brian opened this place up to showcase really their love of Spanish flavors. And you talk to anyone who's traveled to Spain, who's been lucky enough to go over there as a tourist or a student or for work, anything. They come back with stories about the food, much like people who visit New Orleans do. It's such a robust food culture there. It's everywhere, and it's so distinctive. And for a lot of people, it starts with tapas, you know, just these seemingly humble bar snacks that just have this perfect flavor that makes you want to reach for another bite and also, not coincidentally, reach for another sip. You know, it's just drinking food. It's bar food. So you go to a place like if you go to Costera, you know, you got to sit down, you're going to start with something like the just marinated olives, a plate of finely, thinly shaved fine ham, the jamon, the great famous jamon of Spain, these little guys called bambas, which are like these sort of croquettes or fritters, in this case stuffed with braised beef. Maybe you're going to get some of these white anchovies they call bocorones, which are marinated and oily and sour and salty and delicious, and they put them over bread with a little bit of garlicky spread. You're eating more of these things, you're getting a little thirsty, you're checking out.
Man, I'll tell you what, that anchovy thing sounds delicious. We got to take a break, Ian, but the point I was trying to make is, not that you're going to go to a Spanish restaurant and get a, what did you tell me, burrito?
Burrito.
No, what I'm saying is you can go out on a weekend and you can go sit at this restaurant. You'll feel like you took a little vacation to Madrid. Like that's what you would eat if you were in Madrid, and it'd be a nice way to get away for a couple of hours is what I'm saying. Have a great meal and a couple of drinks. We're going to take a break. We come back. Ian McNulty, our friend Peter Lawford of the Rat Pack, if you will, or maybe not, rejoins us. And if you have any questions about eating out or drinking or anything, you can text them to 504-260-1870, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, and I'll pass them along when we return here on WWL. Speaking of the Rewind on the Odyssey app, a heated cross-examination between Dave Cohen and myself about this cat and dog, a kitchen fire that purportedly the video shows to be started by a dog. I think the cat put the dog up to it. You can make your own call. Dave tweeted it at WWLAMFM, and I retweeted it at TTuckerWWL if you want to take a look at it, and then retweet it and comment on it. But it's apparent to me what happened. Ian McNulty's our guest. We love having Ian on. He makes us feel good and gets us ready for the weekend. He's got the best job in the world, I think, covering New Orleans dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate. Ian, when you take these pictures, is that right before you consume these dishes?
Yeah, generally so. We call it the blessing at our table. You know, if I'm dining out with my wife, she knows, keep the claws off of it until Ian takes the picture, and then she says, amen, and then we can eat. You know, that sometimes takes a little explanation when we're talking to other people, you know.
So the picture is the blessing. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, it's like saying grace. Okay. You know, we've captured its essence, and now we can enjoy.
I thought
the
about you during the week.
What I'm trying to say.
Because I went to UNO and I studied a little bit of film, and I like my old movies and looking at the different stars and so forth. And a movie was on the other night, The Egg and I, with Fred McMurray and Claudette Colbert. And the only reason I mention that is there's a scene in there where, and the movie was made in 1947, where they're redoing their anniversary or something in the kitchen or some of this broken down farmhouse. And Fred McMurray says, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Antoine's in New Orleans and have baked Alaska? And it just struck me how way back from 1947, how deeply, I guess, the roots of food in New Orleans run nationwide.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great example. I mean, we live the life here every day, right? I mean, and you're right. I do have a wonderful job. I get to cover this thing that's everyone's passion here in New Orleans. But every once in a while, you get, maybe you do take it for granted. You know, this is just the way we are. This is what we talk about. You know, we like Houdats and we like New Orleans food and red beans and po'boys. You know, you get a refresher course when you talk to somebody who just visited, who just dropped in, or you go travel somewhere else and you tell them you're from New Orleans. And the first thing out of their mouth is probably going to be about food. You know, people have these experiences here. They come to visit. Even if they haven't, that's the thing that they've heard about. They associate New Orleans, you know, not with all the minutiae and the warts of the potholes and the problems and everything that can occupy our lives sometimes. For people outside of New Orleans, when they hear New Orleans, they think of magnificent food, great hospitality. I mean, that's the brand. That's what it is. And Tommy, it's one of the reasons why I've sort of been missing tourists. And visitors, more specifically, during this last year plus, I always find it like a real refreshing recharge when somebody comes and they truly and deeply appreciate New Orleans, and they get it, and they're so amazed, and they fail your sales again, you know, because they come in with fresh eyes and they remind you how wonderful it is to have this distinctive food culture here.
I think you're right. I think you see it through their eyes, and it validates what at one time you knew, but then you kind of get away from it, like you said, because you take it for granted. Somebody asked via text, Ian, for you to spell the name of the Spanish restaurant.
I'm sorry, the Spanish restaurant we were discussing?
Yeah.
That's Costera,
right.
C-O-S-T-E-R-A, and it's on Britannia Street uptown.
All right. So, is that a reservation deal?
Absolutely. Yeah, make a reservation there. Outdoor tables if you want those on the sidewalk. Really nice spot in its neighborhood.
So I saw a story over the during the week about employers trying restaurant employers maybe having a hard time finding people to work. What are you hearing about that? Is it certain
everywhere.
Restaurants,
yes.
Certain skill levels? What?
Well, it's from what I hear, Tommy. It's all over the place. People are rehiring across the economy, and you know, with our lens here on restaurants and that big sector, it absolutely plays out in restaurants and hospitality. You know, frankly, just simply put, I mean, everyone was cut, you know, I mean, places were down to, you know, the owner and a manager or two. I mean, people had staffs of dozens of people, even hundreds of people, you know, they were all furloughed or let go or laid off at some point in this crisis. Most of them, you know, I mean, the unemployment numbers were staggering in the field. And, you know, it's much harder to hire back than it is to make those cuts. I mean, those were not easy cuts to make. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but just the process of getting people back on board is more time consuming and laborious. So yeah, it's a different dynamic out there. It's because everything stopped all at once, but things are restarting sort of at a different pace, at a more staggered pace. And so what you are seeing, yeah, is restaurants and bars and hotels, I hear, are desperately trying to hire. I mean, there's lots of jobs available out there right now. And, you know, they're trying to get back people that used to work with them, and they're trying to create new teams out of new people coming into the business. And it's on that side of the business, I hear it's fairly frantic.
Are there any restaurants that were changed forever? Because each chef has their own imprint on a kitchen, right? And what the restaurant is all about. Are there restaurants that you know of that they lost this chef or that chef? And I don't know where along the brigade it would be, but as a result, that restaurant's changed, and maybe it's for the better, maybe it's not so much for the better.
Well, I think what you're seeing is, you know, there were a lot of changes to the business models that were emergency measures, you know, responding to, okay, your dining rooms have to be closed. Now, what are you going to do? Right. So that was the explosion of takeout and delivery and family packs and family meals when people are hunkered down. And I think people saw some glimmers of permanent change in that, or some outlines of things that could be permanently changed. But, you know, it was a response to a pretty drastic circumstance. And, and much like the staffing situation, you know, it all comes crashing down at once. The rebuild part of it is a lot slower, a lot more gradual. And I do think there's a tendency to go back to what you knew, right? I think what people are looking for when they go back to outdoor restaurants now is what they knew. Things are not 100% the same. You know, the ordering situations are often different. You know, some restaurants are still, I know some restaurants that are still doing takeout only. Here's a good example of that. Barrow's Catfish, which, you know, to me fries up one of the finest plates of fried fish you'll get anywhere, not just in New Orleans, anywhere. This is the next generation incarnation of a restaurant that a lot of New Orleans people knew as Barrow's Shady Inn, just off of Earhart, close to the Parish Line. It was there for decades. One of the great Black Run Creole soul restaurants of New Orleans. Their specialty was fried catfish. Barrow's Catfish, the next generation, is running that. Not very close by on Earhart, just off Carrollton. And they switched over to takeout only, this curbside model where people, it's almost like a digitally enhanced car hop kind of situation where people order, you know, somebody comes up to your window of your car with a, with a pad, a tablet, yep. And you know, you never go in the restaurant. The catfish comes out to you. You know, most of the businesses, the platters are fried catfish. And they have kept that for, you know, since last spring. They're doing real well with it. Last time I checked in with the Barrow Johnson family there, they told me that business was actually up in some cases from before the pandemic because people really like this model. Now, I also would tell you, even in their situation with the success they've had with that, they're eager to get back to some dine-in service too, because for all of these things, you know, there's an upside, there's a downside. The downside is you're at the mercy of the weather. You know, a stormy day kind of throws your curbside operation out the window. But to your question, Tommy, I think what we're gonna see are elements and lessons learned through this worked into business models, more so than whole scale. Rewrite the script, change the whole model, change the entire idea, and right now what I see is people dining out. They're eager for whatever handholds, footholds of the familiar past that restaurants are offering. That favorite dish, the hostess that remembers them, the bartender who's got their drink, you know, halfway prepared when they walk in the door. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing, you know, revive the whatever your Tuesday night tradition was with your gal pals or whatever it is. You know, people are really hungry for these, you know, reminders and facets of their familiar life, and restaurants are giving them to them.
Real quick before we let you go, give me a place for people that want to go somewhere, get something different, try something new, or maybe a place like you're talking about with Barrows. And Jordan Fiegel tells me in my ear, by the way, when you said that, Ian, delicious. And Jordan is not a guy prone to emotion or what's the word I'm thinking of or anything like that. So it must be good catfish. But tell me you could send me. Where should I go?
Okay. Yeah, go check out Dunbar's Creole Cuisine. It's an old-time restaurant. It's famous for its gumbo, but they redid their menu. They've had a lot of big changes since the pandemic. New look, new menu. They're the ones who cooked up that cornmeal-crusted drum with the smoky butter beans, andouille, and shrimp that you mentioned earlier in the show. Boom, mm-hmm. That's a fantastic place. Check them out. Lunch only at the moment. Check them out today or next week.
And that's
week.
On Earhart?
That's on Earhart, yes, indeed. A lot of people remember them from Ferret Street, but the Dunbar's family, next generation, they're back. They're cooking on Earhart, and it's the gumbos is the one for the ages, and they're doing a lot of new stuff, too. And, you know, you want to try something a little more upscale? I think Bywater American Bistro has been doing some of the finest cooking that they ever have. It's Chef Nina Compton's restaurant in the Bywater. Melaton and fried oyster soup. Just start there and keep going.
Wow. That sounds delicious. Thank you, and appreciate your time, man. A pleasure as always. Ian McNulty.
Always happy. Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.